Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hello, folks, and welcome to the A to Z Sports Big Orange Podcast. I am Charlie Burris. That is Zachary. Wherever you listen throughout the world, we thank you so much for listening to us here. And if you want to listen to us on the reg, go over to the A to Z Sports Podcast Network feed on Apple or Spotify. When you get there, rate, review, but most importantly, subscribe. If you do subscribe, you won't miss our shows when we drop them on Mondays. And speaking of Mondays, it is one right now at 7 p.m. Eastern time. And we are live on YouTube, A to Z Sports Nashville YouTube channel. We are live there. As always, we are on time. We are never not on time. We've never once not been on time. It's crazy. In the entire run of this show, you wouldn't believe it. But yeah, you can watch us there. Be a part of the show. Come hit that notification bell because then you'll be notified when we go live. You can come hang out during the show, comment, and be a part of the show. It's a ton of fun. We love going back and forth with everybody. It's great. At Charlie Scorburs, at Zach TNT, at A to Z Sports, A to Z, Facebook.com/A to Z Sports Nashville, and A to Z Sports.com for all the stuff that Zach writes on the internet. Let's get to it. So on Saturday, Zach ended up going to the Tennessee Kentucky game with a good friend of mine. Was very excited. Went to the Kentucky game last year, watched Tennessee lose at home. And thought, I mean, my thought going in, Tennessee was going to win that game by 15, probably. Walking away, I would say. I was thinking, yeah, it might be like a 7-point game with like a minute left and you're getting a little squirrely and then you win on free throws. You win by double digits. Like, I was just feeling like it was going to be something like that. That's not what happened. I have seen Tennessee beat Kentucky many times in real life. Thankfully, so I have, you know, a whole bank there. But that one, man, that was a real senior day. And you had Triple J with the shot right at the end to tie it. And it would have been a great senior moment for him because I really think he would have won in overtime. And he missed it. And yeah, it was not great. Did you get to watch the game, Zach?
Oh, yeah. I was there locked in for the whole thing. And I kind of had that feeling. I was telling you before we came on here, I had that feeling late in the game, like this is going to be like the Auburn game, Alabama game.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to win. They're going to find a way. Kinnick's going to get hot. Somebody's going to get hot. They'll win this game and pull it out. And I thought that three was going in at the end. I mean, I kind of felt like, okay, over time, they pull this thing out. It's just kind of how it goes late in the season. You've already wrapped up the SEC regular season championship. Wasn't a ton to play for, so it wasn't that shocking of a kind of letdown game happening there. Though it really wasn't letdown, but
no, I mean you had a couple of kids at Kentucky who are future NBA level guys, or at least Antonio Reeves is. For some reason, a ton of people think Reed Shepherd is. We were talking about this right before we came on. I don't get it. Reeves, 100%. I see it. The kid can slash at the basket. He's incredibly dynamic. He's a really great shooter, like all the way around. Like, okay, yeah, I see that all the way around. Shepherd, he can, at times, he can make threes like he's Steph Curry. That's what he did against Tennessee. If he does not make those threes, if he doesn't have that stretch, Tennessee probably wins that game going away. But he did, and he can do that. But then he has a whole bunch of other games where he scores like 9 points, and for some reason he's projected like a top 5 pick. Again, maybe I've lost touch with the NBA in totality. I don't know, but yeah, it was just those kids going off. I want to say The two big men for Kentucky did not score. Onyenso did not score. The Z kid did not score either in that entire game. It was really ridiculous. And I'll put it this way. We're just going to put it behind us and leave it behind and then talk about what's coming up. I feel like that's the right move, right, Zach?
Yeah, it definitely is. That's it's a tough one, but, you know.
Yeah, it is what it is.
What counts is on the way. What counts is on the way.
Exactly. The thing is, and I talked about this in the midweek segment that I did by myself last week. I mean, the Kentucky game was just kind of academic. It had the potential to be super fun and a really great way to send off these great seniors. But other than that, I mean, it was sort of a cherry on top of, or could have been a cherry on top of just what was already great. There it is. So let's talk about what's about to happen. The SEC tournament coming right up. The NCAA tournament coming right up. Huge, huge, huge. I mean, this is it. This is the whole thing that we've been waiting for. You finally have the team that has all the stuff to compete. Can they do it? Let's talk about it right after I tell y'all about Zen Sports. We've been talking about them all season long. The new sports betting app exclusively in Tennessee. And when you sign up for a Zen Sports account, you'll receive up to a $1,000 no danger first wager. That's right. When you place your first bet in Zen Sports, you can be reimbursed for the amount of your bet up to a $1,000 maximum if that bet loses. But there's even more good news. Zen Sports is rolling out its VIP rewards program. The VIP program will allow top tier customers to earn bonuses, comps, and perks. The VIP program is by invite only. So if you feel that your Zen Sports play qualifies for VIP consideration, check out the program at zensports.com/VIP. No other sportsbook will offer you a premier sports betting experience with 24/7 top-tier customer support and faster withdrawals like Zen Sports. What are you waiting for? Get going. Download their app at zensports.com today. That is Zen Sports. Betting just got better. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older in Tennessee to bet. Zen Sports. Big thank you to them. Now let's get to it. You blow it against Kentucky, and it sucks. It was an extremely emotional senior day. Triple J, Vescovi, both weeping at midcourt, everyone losing their minds for Connect. Connect goes for 40. He finally hit that 40. And I will predict right here that will not be the last time that he hits 40 this season. I think there will be another game where that ends up happening for him before this season is out. But it just felt off. In the building, super, super electric. The atmosphere was really awesome, but you could just feel how emotional it was. I mean, it was emotional as a fan sitting in the stands where you're just like, oh man, these guys have given so much to Tennessee for so long. There's such special players. They're crying. I'm crying. Oh man. It was just a lot of that. And it was just off. As we already mentioned, that game was kind of academic. You already had the SEC in hand. You're already the number one seed in the SEC tournament. Meh, you know, it's outside of just the disappointment of it being senior day. It is what it is, and you move forward. Now, the thing that could be tough, and this is where I want to start with this conversation, if you win that game, Tennessee at this point would have probably been 100% locked into a number one seed for the NCAA tournament, almost assuredly, because that night, Arizona went to USC and lost to LeBron's kid by like 15. It was terrible. They looked terrible.
And USC's terrible. And
USC is not good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they're like they've won 13 games. I think that might have been their 13th win or 14th.
I think
win,
it was their 14th. Like 14 and yeah. 17, I think.
Not great.
Not good.
And Arizona goes and lays a giant egg. Caleb Love played terrible. It was just tough. LeBron's son had like 5 points. So congratulations to him. LeBron was in the crowd. They kept showing him like continuously throughout the entire game. But you would have, with the win over Kentucky, you would have had that number one seed on lock. Now, that being said, there's a little bit of a theory here that, you know, maybe you're better off as a two seed. I don't know that I agree with that. Also, personally, I don't know that it matters. Because this stuff is all just, I mean, it's all just chance. It's all the draw. It's all matchups. It's, you know, it could be anything throughout this tournament. Whoever thought you were going to be playing FAU Loyola, Chicago, and yet you played both of them, you lost to both of them. You never know in this thing. Does the number one seed, now it's still, I think if Tennessee wins the SEC tournament, I think maybe even if Tennessee makes it to the SEC tournament final, they might still get that one seed. But what do you think about potentially missing out on the one seed, Zach?
I mean, that was the biggest thing that kind of this Kentucky game was for, I think, in most people's opinions. One, the pride of beating Kentucky. Two, trying to lock up that one seed. But I mean, I don't get that caught up on the seeding type stuff. Like, you're going to be around the area you should be. If you're one of the top eight teams in the country, you know, you're probably going to be a one or two seed, depending on how it shakes out. Those are the teams that are pretty much all legitimately have a chance to win the national championship. Like you said, Tennessee's had easy paths before. They've had, you know, FAU, and the easy path didn't lead to a Final Four. So it really is one of those things. Like, we'll spend a lot of time breaking down the bracket when they're released next Sunday evening, and we'll talk about Tennessee's path, what kind of draw they got. It'll be horrible. It'll be, you know, great, whatever, however we end up describing it. And it will be pretty much that means nothing. None of that means anything. We've seen really good, one seeds get bounced in the second round quite a few times by, you know, eight or nine seeds that end up going on a run. You just never know how that stuff will play out. You just got to go take it. You know, it was cliche. You really do have to take it one game at a time in the tournament and just, you know, face your next challenge. And you, who knows how that bracket, side of the bracket, will even play out. You know, oftentimes you end up thinking you're going to get a tough draw. The two seed loses early and you're like, oh, wow, here's the path to the Final Four. And then, you know, Tennessee's been down that road before. All of a sudden you're going home earlier than you expected because you ran into a Cinderella. So I don't think the one seed, it's nice to say you're a one seed, but it seems like that's probably, at least in my view, the extent of what comes out of that. That Kentucky game, for that reason, to me, is completely inconsequential. It doesn't change my opinion one bit on this being a championship team. Nothing about that game, you know, makes me feel any different about Tennessee's chances to win it all.
No, that's just one of those things that happens in basketball where you just have a freak performance. The way that happened for Kentucky was on a different planet. I mean, they had to have three of their guys, and really all three of those dudes. The only guy that didn't have an out-of-body experience in that game was Antonio Reeves, just because he has a lot of big games. But Reed Shepard, I mean, that's the best game of the season for him. It's not even close. The other Edwards, the other kid, that was probably best game he's ever going to have at Kentucky, honestly. And I mean, it was a total joke. So I don't put as much stock into that as you want to. It is meaningful towards this number one seed, but is that number one seed meaningful? I pretty much agree with you, Zach. You've had the easy path. You've had the hard path. I mean, last year you had to go through Duke and you beat him. You beat Duke and then you lost to FAU. It's who knows? Genuinely, it is all just about matchups. That's always my take when it comes to March Madness. You can have that seed, and you can beat Purdue last year with Zach Edey, God's gift to basketball, Zach Edey, and you go lose to Fairleigh Dickinson. It doesn't matter. You still have to go out there and you have to win those games. And so my second question here is, SEC tournament coming up, big games, although depending on how much stock you put into them, and then the NCAA tournament. You did look in that game against Kentucky as if you may have been leaning on Connect a little too much. Other guys simply did not contribute enough. You got, 17 out of Ziegler? I don't remember the exact box score. 13 out of Adu, something like that. But overall, Adu had a pretty tough game. He got blocked a lot. Mm-hmm. It was really not great. And so with that being said, do you actually maybe consider having this performance at this point a good thing because it could wake them up and say, like, all right, let's recenter again. We did it earlier this season. Let's get back to, you know, everybody being focused. Or is it a bad sign for what's coming? What do you think?
Oh, and this gets into that whole good loss thing. Is there such thing as a good loss? And truthfully, like it can be a good loss. It has to be a good loss, honestly. I mean, they don't have any other choice. Yeah. Like, it has to be a good loss. It has to, you know, kind of recenter you. College basketball is funny like that, where oftentimes you lose these games going into the tournament and you end up being just fine. Like, we've seen it from plenty of teams before in the past. And, you know, Tennessee will be hoping that's what it is. It, like I said, it absolutely has to be that. And that conversation with the one seed, when I said, you know, that game doesn't make me think any differently about who Tennessee is or what they are. Kentucky was hitting shots. Tennessee wasn't. It did feel like they were forcing to connect a few times, like, hey, come save us. And he did all he could, had a huge game. You can't hit every shot, especially when the other team's mission is to not let you get the ball. Maybe they could do a little bit, and knowing Rick Barnes, they probably will, because they know, you know, the amount of attention Kinect's receiving right now. Maybe because of this, you know, performance and the struggles they had there, maybe they designed some stuff to get, you know, to go away from Kinect a little bit more when he's commanding attention. Some more set plays, kind of, instead of reacting to what the defense is doing, kind of attacking that and using it to your advantage. Maybe that's something they kind of work on going into the SEC tournament because of this loss.
I hope so. Like you said, it has to be a good loss, so to speak, quote unquote, because otherwise, I mean, you can't let this actually be a problem for Tennessee to succeed. I think you could get to a Sweet 16 playing like you did against Kentucky. You could probably win the SEC tournament playing like you did against Kentucky, where Kinect just goes off, carries you, puts you on his back. But eventually you're going to get to games in the Sweet 16, Elite Eight, somewhere right there, where you have to have the whole contribution. You have to. And it's the definition of playing right at the right time. And you can say, oh, winning on the road at South Carolina, winning on the road at Alabama. Technically speaking, that was playing right at the right time. There you go. Everybody contributed. Great team efforts. You won huge games on the road in really tight spots. And it was awesome. But the real winning at the right time is not right now. That's great. You know, you get a t-shirt. I went and bought the t-shirt on Friday for the SEC championship. But you want to be playing that second weekend in March. That's playing right at the right time. And then that third weekend, if you can string together those four games, if you're this team, like I said, I think you can make it to the Sweet 16 playing like you did, where you're letting Kinect probably carry you a little too much. But that second weekend and that third weekend, that's where it has to be the whole deal. And can they pull it together? I mean, we all know they can. Will they? It stresses me out, but it was never not going to stress me out. You always have that specter out there.
Gets more stressful no matter how good they're playing.
Exactly. Because really, like, during that Kentucky game, it was frustrating and it was annoying. And you had a few Kentucky fans in the building that were hooping and hollering. And, you know, I was annoyed, but like, I was not nervous. I wasn't like edge of my seat being like, ah, oh, we got to win this. Oh my God. If that game had been for an SEC title, I probably would have felt more that way. But, you know, I was just more like, oh God, can't believe we're doing this. This is so annoying. Yeah. It wasn't anything serious, but when it comes, and I'm probably going to feel that way ish about the SEC tournament. But when it comes to March, I just want it so badly for Rick Barnes, because he's right there on the precipice of being the greatest coach that's ever coached at this school. You make a Final Four and it's over, in my opinion. You know, in the 70s with Ernie Burney, you may have theoretically had like better teams with just both stars. But also it was basketball in the 70s. It's a totally different product and it's hard to compare those two things. And I would say in the modern era, Rick is already the best coach you've ever had. He's better than Pearl. And I know a lot of people aren't going to agree with that because they love Pearl. I don't know why. I mean, I would say I appreciate what Pearl did. Barnes has been better than Pearl, period. He's had more good teams. He has won you an SEC tournament. Pearl never did that. Like, you know, he is better than Pearl. Sorry to all those people, but you're wrong. And I think at this point, surely most fans feel that way, right? Surely. Come on, guys.
I mean, I know we've gone back and forth on Rick Barnes on this show for, you know, we've been doing this for 4 years, and in the middle or at the beginning of it, it was kind of some rocky times for Rick Barnes. We were talking about retirement at times and different things, but when you take a step back, especially now, a couple of years later, and you look at everything he's done, I mean, yeah, he's definitely the best modern coach, and it really is hard to compare eras because not only is it a different game, it's a different roster. It's a different way of building a team. You know, back then you could build a team full of juniors and seniors and make a run. You just can't really do that anymore. It's not possible to. It's such a year to year thing. So the job descriptions are almost completely different. But as far as Barnes, I agree with you. And I also think about kind of side, you know, bar here. The way that he ended up at Tennessee, it just, all of it seems so perfect for him to go out with like a Final Four or a championship, or not necessarily go out, but at least get that at the end of his career. You know, he got fired at Texas, looked like he was done. Tennessee has a surprise opening because of the Donnie Tindall NCAA stuff at Southern Miss. I mean, if that doesn't happen, he gets another year and Barnes maybe never ends up at Tennessee because they hopped on him so quick. So just to be able to come to Tennessee, rejuvenate his career, and have sustained success the way he's had it, there's nobody in college basketball that deserves a championship more than that guy. So hopefully Tennessee can kind of be a part of this storybook ending for once for a coach. Because I feel like, yeah, Tennessee gets a lot of hate from opposing fan bases, but Rick Barnes is one of those guys. Like, how do you really hate that human being? I don't see how anybody possibly could. Like, everybody in the sport would kind of be rooting for him if they go on this run. So it could be a really special thing that happens later this month and into April.
I want it so badly. For all of Tennessee's fans who just frankly deserve this, because you have a program that in terms of its resources and general just like power and draw, you know, an arena that holds 22,000 people and, you know, all like that's as big as Kentucky's arena. And you have obviously so much money and donors and things with at Tennessee, like you should have a power program. And Tennessee has a power program, but they are not a blue blood in college basketball. If you were to reach a Final Four or, you know, I don't even know if I can say it, win a national championship this year. God, what an unbelievable accomplishment that would be. You would be getting there, but you're just not. And it's just never made sense to me. And to finally do it and to have Barnes do it under these circumstances with this special team, with these dudes that have been here for so long, it would just be so magical. And that is why if they make it to Sweet 16, they especially if they make it to an Elite Eight, I will be ill. I will be watching those games in the fetal position on the floor of my house. I don't know what I'm gonna do. I will be more nervous for that than at any point during like the Alabama game in 22 or like anything like that. It's something. You've won a national championship in football. You've been there. You've reached that mountaintop, and a lot of us were alive back then. Most of us, I think. I mean, this is something we've never seen, and this fan base truly deserves. And to finally break through, just making me think of it, to finally break through and not let Kentucky fans, when they do things like they just did, to be able to say like, well, you've never been to a Final Four. That's their comeback every single time. You could say, oh, well, Rick Barnes has a winning record against Kentucky. He's won in Rupp Arena 4 times. Tennessee's beaten Kentucky twice on the way to a bid in the SEC championship game. You know, you could say all of these things to them and they still, well, you've never been to a Final Four and you've never. And that's what every time. Get that monkey off of everybody's back, not just Rick Barnes. I mean, obviously for Barnes, it's massive, but for the fans, it's a weight that you have to just sort of carry around and just be like, I mean, yeah, that is true. We've never made a Final Four. What am I supposed to do? And it's just going to take the whole of this team doing it at the top of their ability. And it's there. It is there. Can they do it? I'm not sure. I guess
And we'll just have to see. But let's start here before we move on to this next segment to talk about Kelly Harper and the Lady Vols. Been putting off that conversation all season long. I think we're finally going to have it here. But with the SEC tournament, you will have one of LSU and Mississippi State. You will then likely play Auburn. And then in the championship game, it could be Kentucky, Alabama, Florida. Those are your most likely. I mean, the year you won it, you ended up playing Texas A&M kind of absolutely out of the blue. You never really know.
Yeah.
But how are you feeling about the SEC tournament, Zach?
I mean, I think you win Friday just by showing up. It feels like, even I know you lost Mississippi State on the road earlier this season, but I feel like you're going to be fine in that game. Obviously, Auburn is can be kind of scary to deal with. You know, that was a close game last time. We all know that it took Dalton Kneck being very special for Tennessee to win that game. It's Bruce Pearl. You know how that's, you know, it's going to be an intense, tight game. That's just how that's going to go. So that one, you know, that's the game. You got to win that game. I mean, that's the big one that you got to have your eye on. And then you worry about Sunday, you know, if and when you get there. I'm sure Tennessee probably loves to play Alabama again after Nate Oates kind of things he said this week about should have won the SEC regular season championship. You know, they got swept by Tennessee this season. And he said they wanted another shot at Tennessee. So, I mean, give it to them. You know, give them what they want.
Come on down.
I mean, to me, that's the perfect. I know a lot of people probably want Kentucky to avenge maybe this last loss. But to me, I would like to see Tennessee-Alabama in the championship game Sunday. That's the matchup I'm hoping to see. Just, you know, just as a fan in general, I think that would be the most fun one.
I don't know why, but I feel like we're going to play South Carolina in the semifinal. I think you'll probably play
past Auburn.
Again, I don't know why. It just feels like a little just SEC tournament weirdness that ends up happening.
It never plays out exactly how you think it's going to. Maybe it gets close, but never typically. There's always some wrinkles in there for sure. It's March. I mean, that's the point.
Yeah, never. And so my ideal here would be Auburn in the semi, Alabama in the final, and you get to beat Nate Oates to win an SEC tournament. And also, I think it's a good matchup for Tennessee. It's just that's not the matchup that Alabama wants.
Nate Oates wants that, per his words.
I'm sure he wants a third shot at Tennessee.
Not but what just they should
matchup,
want.
Yes, matchup-wise, it's a bad matchup for Alabama. Now, matchup-wise for Kentucky, technically it's a bad matchup for Kentucky, unless, you know, they're you know, little white guy can make a ton of shots like that. And then it's not such a bad matchup, but I guess Florida is out there, but they lost to Vanderbilt and they were kind of surging and then lost to Vanderbilt to end the season.
Vanderbilt's in a bad spot. I mean, they're in a
terrible,
they're way spot. In the wilderness. Jerry Stackhouse is, you know, he's having to recite Bible verses during post-game press conferences at this point. That, you know, it's done at that point.
It is over at that point. No doubt about it. Surely they're going to fire that guy, but maybe it's them. Who knows? Florida, not Vanderbilt. But I think Tennessee makes a championship game and probably wins the tournament. But here's kind of my final question here before we move on to Lady Vols. Do you want them to win the tournament though? I talked about this when I was doing my solo show there. I think we talked about it last week too. It's a lot of games in a very short amount of time, and you have to go and right afterwards play the real games that, at least to me this season, the games that are the games, the most meaningful matchups that you're going to play probably in the last 20 years of Tennessee basketball, the most meaningful matchups in terms of how good this team is and how, at what level you should be able to compete in the tournament this year. And I don't know. I don't want to say it doesn't matter. I want to win an SEC tournament again. Get me another t-shirt. That'd be great. But also, I don't know, maybe lose on Saturday. It'll be all right. I won't love it, especially if it's to Pearl. But Save your legs, baby.
Yeah. I don't like you want to win, and they want to win. The competitors in them want to win. It's hard to turn that switch off. You don't want them to turn it off right now. Getting into March, you want them to leave, kind of leaving it all out there. But at the same time, you're right. It is a lot of games. You do get kind of wore out by the end of the season. That's just the nature of playing this many games. And college players, there is really no load management for these guys. They're playing a lot every night. It's kind of one of those things to me where you want to win, but if you lose on Saturday, it's not the end of the world. If you're going to lose on Saturday, though, so you at least get that Sunday off. I think if you lose on Friday, that's kind of concerning. You lose to LSU, Mississippi State. That's where it's like, okay, that shouldn't happen. But you lose a close game to Auburn on Saturday, it's like, yeah, it sucks. Yeah, like you said, you lose to Bruce Pearl, but you save your legs a little bit. The games that matter are coming up. Like we said, we see it happen all the time that the tournament champion, the conference tournament champions, you know, don't advance far in the or aren't the team left standing at the very end. It happens all the time, very common. So I think it's one of those things. If it happen on Saturday, and no big deal at that point.
Yeah, I like the comment from Deborah. She said, what I want to not see is one of our guys getting hurt in a tournament that doesn't mean a whole lot. 100% agree. And it kind of goes that same way.
Rolled ankle type deal on a Sunday championship game that you end up losing might be one of the worst case scenarios there.
Yeah, don't have something like that happen. If I had to choose between Dalton Kinect rolls his ankle in the Sunday championship and you win, or you lose on Saturday, I'm taking lose on Saturday because I want Dalton Kinect in the tournament. Period. In the real tournament. It's just so much more meaningful to me this season. I don't know. I've been saying it over and over and over again. You know, it just is what it is. A few other comments here. James says, fire Kelly. We're going to talk about that in just a second. Jason says, Adu is light around the rim and his hands are soft, and that worries me. I agree. That's one of the things that when you get deep into the tournament, I think could rear its ugly head. It's two things. I think it's that, and then it's free throw shooting. The free throw shooting, that so seriously worries me. It bit you in this Kentucky game. Theoretically, I mean, the way the game was played at the end would have been a little different if you made more of your free throws, but you missed 6-7 free throws in this game, and you lost by 3. There's your game, you know? That point blank. So those two things, Adu has to. If Adu can go and have a transcendent tournament, that would be more impactful than Kinect ultimately. Because I think Kinect's gonna have a great, if he's healthy, he's having a great tournament period. I'm not sure you're gonna be able to deny him. But Adu would be the thing that takes Tennessee to a championship. Ultimately. And Volunteer says, what's up with all the ads on the live show? It's two ads on the entire live show. I mean, I guess I can cut it down and then we can just not have the show. But it's until then, you know, I gotta pay my bills. All right. Now let's go back to James' question. JC also asked in the comments, he says, how far will the Lady Vols go in the tournament? Let's talk about what happened with the Lady Vols over the weekend, and I'll say apologies to Volunteer here, but we do have to talk about Farm Bureau Health Plans. Farm Bureau Health Plans has been serving Tennesseans for over 75 years. Much has changed in Tennessee over the years, but some have stayed the same. Farm Bureau Health Plans has always valued personal relationships, especially when it comes to good health and good service. Plan on Farm Bureau Health Plans for health, dental, and vision. For better coverage, better rates, and better service, go to fbhp.com/ATOZ or walk into one of their 200-plus locations across the state. That is fbhp.com/ATOZ, Farm Bureau Health Plans. Big thank you to them. We really appreciate it. So the Lady Vols went to the SEC tournament and made it to the semifinal against South Carolina. It was nice. They beat Alabama and just kind of cleared through their first two games. And initially, they're getting blown out by South Carolina. And it's ugly, and I flipped it off. I mean, well, I didn't flip it off. I was at the Kentucky game. And I was just like, oh boy, all right, see ya. And then we're walking out of the Kentucky game, looking at our phones, and we're like, it's a 2-point game. What the heck happened here? I mean, ultimately, we found out Tennessee had been down by 23 in that game, came all the way back, didn't just tie it, but took the lead with 1 second remaining. Now, let's also say this. Had two free throws that would have sealed this against 30-0 South Carolina, a South Carolina team that hadn't lost since last year's Final Four. And in 3 years, they've lost three games. I mean, the powerhouse of powerhouses at the moment in women's college basketball. The on par with some of the best dynasties that Pat had in terms of how they play. And you had them not just on the ropes. You had them beat, period. It was over if you make your free throws. You had them done. They chucked up a terrible shot. You got a rebound. You got fouled. You go to the line. And they miss two free throws. So that's fundamentals right there. That's not necessarily straight up bad coaching, but it's terrible. It's something that scares me for the men's team also. but that's neither here nor there. You were two free throws away from ending this. And then you go down and have one of the worst endings I've ever seen in a basketball game, men's, women's. Young, old. Unbelievable. They pass the ball in. Now they pass it to South Carolina's center. And she's standing outside the free throw line. And come to find out after the game, she has never made a three-pointer in her entire career. So maybe the thinking is, okay, let her shoot. We definitely don't want to foul. So just let her shoot it. Okay. You know what you can still do? Just put a hand in her face. Like, you can stand within 10 feet of this girl, maybe. And they didn't do any of that. They stood, Tennessee center stood in the middle of the lane and just put her hands up, minimum 5 feet away, probably more than that, 5 feet down in the center of the lane, just put her hands up and just watch the ball go into the hoop. Banked off the backboard, actually, and went in. I had no word. I mean, that was, these words get overused. I was speechless. I was stunned. Watching it with the friend I went to Kentucky game with, we were just like, what? How does this happen? How did we let this happen? Just beside ourselves. No, before we actually get to Kelly, I mean, did you see this, Zach?
Yeah, I mean, I saw the ending of the game. I was like, I didn't see the whole thing. Just kind of, I mean, honestly, didn't think they were going to have much of a shot. So credit to them for playing South Carolina hard to begin with. Suddenly, that last play, I mean, that is inexcusable in that instance, obviously, from so many things. I mean, one, obviously, you have to defend everybody. Anything can go in at that point in the game. There was no real pressure on the inbounds pass either. You're making it too easy, first off, to even get the ball in. I mean, that's your first mistake there, is pressure the ball, pressure the inbounds, you know, whoever's inbounding the ball, make them work for it, burn some clock, not have a good look from wherever they are. I mean, everybody on the floor is a shooter at that point. So there's just a lot there that was very frustrating to watch. But at the same time, it's like you should have won that game. I mean, you do what you're supposed to do on that last possession, or you hit your free throws, and that's a historic win. You're the lead on Sports Center. Everybody's talking about you, or maybe not the lead, but you might be. You're up there at the beginning, ending this winning streak. What a win that would have been for her. I mean, that would have bought, you know, Kelly another year at least.
It would have been the greatest win that the Lady Vols have had in, I don't even know, probably since Pat was still the coach. I mean, they hadn't beat a number one team since 2005. Now, there's kind of a factor there in that Tennessee was the number one team for a huge amount of time in that period. Yeah. But still, like, it had been that long since you beat a number one team. And like I said, this South Carolina squad is right up there with some of the greatest that Pat had in terms of just, you know, how many games they've won. They're on pace to go undefeated this season. And it would have been one of the finest wins in Tennessee basketball history, period, men's or women's. And that's how it ends. Now, Nicole here in the comments says, that's a fireable offense. And to that, and she says that that's on the coach. To that, I would say, I agree, sort of. I think the fireable offenses, I would say yes, and the fireable offenses have also been a bunch of stuff that happened before this, too.
Yeah. It's not just that play. Like, that play is bad, but, you know, if she's had way more success than she's had, that's just a bad look. I mean, we've good teams sometimes do dumb things, and it happens, but it is the cumulative effect of everything that's happened.
5 years, and really never a truly competitive team. No Final Fours. Made it to the SEC championship game. And that's the bet. Last year, you beat LSU, who eventually won a national championship last year. Fair enough. It was a really huge win at the time. And I gave Kelly credit for it last year when that happened. But then win, and they were completely uncompetitive in the next game against South Carolina in the championship. And so it's the 5 year, like a bunch of people I tweeted about, and I said this should be curtains for Kelly at Tennessee. It's too much. And I had some responses that said, oh, well, they competed that entire game and they've actually improved over the course of the season. No. It's been 5 years to improve. Like, I'm not talking about this in a vacuum as if it's just this singular thing. Like, yeah, competing with South Carolina at that level, ultimately, in itself is impressive. But no, it's 5 years. It's not this. It's the fact that you've had a bunch of talent and then also really not had as much talent as you could have had, frankly. Also, it's still one of the most powerful women's programs in all of women's college basketball, even now, in terms of attendance and things like that. And yet, uncompetitive. I mean, just double-digit losses, and it hasn't improved year over year. It's not like you're getting better. You're not improving. And when you watch them, the fundamentals are terrible. Tons of turnovers. And just, it's brutal sometimes watching these girls. And I feel pretty strongly about this. I had my entire childhood growing up, we had season tickets to Lady Vols games. I watched hundreds of games where Pat Summitt coached live and in person. And yeah, I mean, that shadows how I look at this for sure. And there's going to be people that say, oh, well, your expectations are too high. Nobody's going to be Pat. I'm not asking her to be Pat. That's the thing. I'm not asking her to be Pat.
Just be in the mix.
Just be competitive. Don't lose double digit games in a season. That's what I'm asking for. And so it's gotta be time. And you have the right AD now, I think, to go out and make a real hire. A lot of people say, oh, who would you go out and hire? And I've seen a lot of people saying the coach at Grand Canyon University, she's winning a ton of games. And it's kind of a trendy pick right now. No offense to her, but I think Tennessee can do better than that. I just really do. Now, is it going to be Dawn Staley? No. Dawn Staley has no motivation to leave South Carolina. Why would she do that? And you're also not going to pay your women's coach. I mean, you probably have to pay her like $6 million or something. I want to say she makes like three already. So it would be a hefty payday. And so I think you could go. One I always look at is Brenda Freeze at Maryland. She's won a national championship, has had a ton of really competitive teams. And if you can bring her in to what is, in my opinion, the greatest program in the history of the sport, give her those resources. Now, I think she's like a near lifer at Maryland at this point. I think she's been there almost like 20 years or something. But somebody like that, like actually swing for this thing and really actually – go for it. I mean, I would say ask Dawn Staley. At least see. At least got to, you know, knock on that door. But she's not coming. But just be serious about it. I think you have the right AD, and it's over. I mean, it just is. It's over. Like, we got to just call it what it is. It's 5 years. It's not even like it's just year two or year three. Five years. That's a full recruiting cycle plus 1 year. Come on. It's over. But I don't know if you agree with me there, Zach.
Yeah, I think it should be over. And it's, I think everybody likes Kelly Harper. But I think we know who she is at this point. She's the same coach that she's been throughout her career from NC State to Missouri State. I mean, at her best, it's like a 25-10, type season, really. Yep. I mean, that's kind of the ceiling there. And we've seen nothing to suggest otherwise. I mean, if she had not played at Tennessee, I think the calls for her job would be very, very, very loud by now. If this was somebody that had not played for Pat Summitt and come over and taken this program over and lost the game like that, playing that kind of defense and that kind of, fundamentals, everybody would be calling for a job. I mean, Butch Jones, you take the personality out of it when you're losing to Alabama by 30 some points still in year four, 2016. People were like, okay, you can't defend that type of stuff. So you kind of got to take those orange blinders off when it comes to Kelly Harper, I think, and just look at the results the way it's happened. It's not going to change anytime soon. Even if you had beat South Carolina, honestly, it's still probably not much is going to change because it's such a kind of a roller coaster under her. And that's, coaching's hard. It's really hard. And that's why programs go through so many coaches. So there's no shame in the fact that it hasn't worked out. It's just a really hard thing to do on a really big stage at Tennessee. It's a lot of pressure. It's a different challenge now anyways, even in women's basketball with the NIL era transfer portal stuff. It's not coaching the way that she was coached by Pat. It was a lot of things that are done differently now. That style that Pat Summitt probably wouldn't fly today, or you'd lose a lot of trends. It's just a different era. That's the way it is. So I think it's definitely time to move on. And you just got to trust Danny White in this too, because I'm sure there's some really talented, women's basketball coaches out there that we haven't heard a lot about, that if they had the right resources, then they could do really good things. And that's not to say, go try to make a budget hire, just go try to make the right hire. The kind of atmosphere that's at Tennessee right now, between the football and basketball and baseball and softball and pretty much all the sports right now at Tennessee, there's this harmony that has not existed in a very, very, very long time. So you got to bring somebody who's going to fit into that. I think Danny White has earned enough capital at this point with what everything he's accomplished. He's got some equity built up that you can trust him. And if your hire seems underwhelming, like, just give it a shot. Whoever it ends up being, if he does end up having to make a hire, I tend to think he'll make a change because I think he understands the brand. Danny White came here because of the brand that Tennessee is. Lady Vols are obviously a huge part of that. I think he fully understands what he has here that he's kind of got to be the caretaker of. He gave Kelly a legit chance. Like, he didn't come in and just, toss her, fire her after one season. He's been here 3 years now, since 2021. He gave her a fair chance. So nobody can, blame the AD type thing, kicking a Lady Vol out. So it wouldn't surprise me if he does make the move this year.
I think it would say a lot if he were to do that. And it would speak to him being truly serious about the gravity of that program, and that he still is in touch with where that program needs to be. I mean, there is a statue to Pat Summitt outside of Thompson Bowling Arena. We got to be real here. A legend built this house. And this is a great comment from Caleb. He says, it's not fair to Pat to just be in the mix. They should be able to hire a top-notch coach. That's well said. It really is. You're you're not honoring her tradition by being okay with mediocrity, because she would, Pat wouldn't have been okay with that. Never, never would that have been all right in her tenure. And Jason also says it here, kind of what we've been saying. It's a fireable offense on top of everything else. The South Carolina game. He said the South Carolina game was the dagger. Yeah. I think
Kelly, I mean, you could see it in Kelly's face. You had to kind of empathize with her. You could see how much that loss hurt. And I think in that moment, that shot of her, when that shot goes in, you can see kind of everything there, like the weight of it, the reality of it, what it would have meant, what it means that it didn't happen.
Yep.
And probably what it means for her future. It was hard not to feel for her in that situation, just as a human. Like, that's a tough spot to be in for sure.
Yes, because she ultimately, she is one of the greats to ever play for Pat Summitt, and was on multiple national championship winning teams, and is a legend in her own right as a player. But that the program is bigger than one of the great players. It's the program. it's not, we're not the Tennessee Kelly Harpers. We're the Tennessee Volunteers. So, tough subject, but I think it, you got to talk about it, because it just is really, it's important. It's one of the most important pieces at Tennessee. So there you go. There's our spiel. And I will say this. Oh, we got a Kentucky fan over here in the comments. Oh, look at him right here. He says, was that Ziegler's third senior night? Oh, I got tough news for this guy.
We found out last week when I thought he was a senior.
He's a junior. He's coming back. So that is funny. He's just been starting since he was a freshman. I'm sure.
Great weekend for the Vols, too. Tennessee baseball handled business against Illinois. What outscored them like 38-7. Back to some of those 2022 vibes with Burt getting ejected from the game for I guess saying something to the catcher, who that one angel he immediately complains to the umpire. I'm like, oh, that's the worst. That is the worst in sports. Just handle it between you two. Then you'll be like, hey, he called me a name or whatever. But yeah, they handle business, and Tennessee baseball up in the top five now, past Wake Forest, who I'd like to talk some junk about stealing Chase Burns away. Talking about changing the narrative, and the narrative's changed for Wake very quickly after dropping 2-3 to Duke.
Yeah, I believe the one that they won was the one that
Chase. It was Burns. He struck out 14. I mean, he's as advertised. Yeah. Okay. But it's a team, he only pitches once a week.
Yeah. It's all right.
If he's at Tennessee still in the bullpen, he might be able to pitch more, a couple more times a week. Get to go Lord viral knows. More than just the one time when he comes off the mound.
He would have been a starter here. Good Lord. AJ Russell out. Could have used him right now. I think he's out precautionarily, at least for that this year.
Yeah, it's too early in the season to be. Like, we learned last year how much March baseball really matters, right? I mean, I don't think Tennessee won a series for almost April or something, wasn't it? Like SEC series?
Yeah.
It was a little rough go there. We were kind of wondering what was going to happen, and they finally put it together, and that's the team that went to Omaha, not the 2022 team that had such the great regular season.
The offense on this team is brutal, relentless.
Billy Amick is the Dalton Connect of college baseball right now.
Yes. I mean, he's what have they been calling him? Billy Bombs?
He's already like it feels like he's been here forever already. People love him. He's a hero. He's like this urban legend. He's been here playing for less than a month.
It's I think there's special things in store for that team, too. Hopefully another College World Series we will see. First SEC series coming up. Is it Kentucky?
Yeah, I'm not sure. It's so many games and things running through my head at this point. It's hard to keep up with it all.
I've been watching the baseball games, but I have not been, like, I don't know.
I always have them on, and I'm back and forth doing, because they're a lot of times during the week, they're early afternoon, so I just kind of have it on while I'm doing stuff. And I think before we started recording that I flipped one off to watch an NBA game the other night because they were blowing the team out so bad. It was just it's kind of like watching a blowout football game. It kind of just boring after a while. They're that good.
In this one in Tuscaloosa, against number 14 Alabama. So I think you'll get to test your mettle there. That's
well, hopefully nobody down there in Tuscaloosa is doing any point shaving or trying to give any hints out. I know how they kind of roll down there. They try to manipulate the betting apps.
Yeah, don't let your coach have a cell phone or whatever. Don't let him call down to his buddies at the casino.
They just put in like a $35,000 bet on college baseball. They said they'd never gotten a bet that large. It was instant red flags.
So brilliant. Stupid. It's a great story if you go track that one.
I feel
down
like it's not talked about enough just because it happened to Alabama. No. I feel like it's something we should celebrate just a little more.
It's we did talk about it on this show, but yeah, that was a wild one. Made Alabama look incredibly foolish. Which is always nice. Next week, you got the start of press conferences for spring ball.
Yeah, I think spring ball starts. It's the first practice too, Monday. So Hypo will talk to the media Monday, and they have their first practice that morning, Monday morning, 8:45 Eastern time.
Okay, so we'll have a practice to talk about next week, spring ball. For Vol football, that's going to be great. So a little more football in that one. And, of course, we'll talk about whatever ends up happening in the SEC tournament and the seed that Tennessee gets. That will be post-selection Sunday. It's going to be a big show next week. I'm excited. And, man, the rubber's about to meet the road. Here we go. Here we go. Should be fun. Go root. Go root for Tennessee. And against North Carolina, and maybe Tennessee can get them a number one seed. I'll circle back around. Volunteered. He said that he was frustrated with the YouTube ads, not our ads.
Yeah, we all are.
It's so many, and we don't I can't. I either have to not monetize this through YouTube, or it does it. Like I don't. And I mean, again, I got to pay these bills. So, yeah, that I'm not happy about that in a similar way to yourself volunteered. All right. Charlie Burris, Zach Reagan, thanks so much to everybody for watching, listening. Great show. Tons of good comments tonight. We appreciate it. As I said, football, basketball next week. We're going to talk about it all. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for watching. Couldn't do it without you. I don't need to read out everything. You know where to find us, A-to-Z-Sports.com, all the different things. Subscribe, rate, review, blah, blah, blah. Go find us there. That's it. And we will talk to y'all next week.
See you guys later.